This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guests for the day, Oanda analyst Kenny Fisher and in the United States, Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys.
Well, it goes without saying, it's another turbulent day for markets. Where you are, Nick, in the United States, Wall Street, of course, has opened lower following major drops in stocks around the world. And this is all down to Donald Trump imposing a 104% tariff on China. And that has been reciprocated by the Chinese today as well. So where do you want to start with this very tricky time? Dare I say it, unprecedented. We've had in the last 15, 20 years, that word used quite a lot through the global financial crisis, through COVID. But this feels different. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, Johnny, the interesting thing about all of this is I've heard this conversation brought up, whether or not this is some sort of external force that has hit us like a COVID, or if this is something internally destroyed like the financial system in 2008, or if it's somewhere in the middle where it's, you know, a small group of people with a lot of power making a lot of changes. And is that self-imposed? Is it in their belief? I think a lot of them believe that this is something that needed to get done. We've already seen a little bit of blaming of past administrations for not already doing things like this. You know, you have some very wild changes occurring globally at this time with tariffs back and forth. As you mentioned, we saw the Chinese have had tariffs in the United States. Trump comes out, says we're going to do retaliatory tariffs. China steps up and takes a swing back. And then, of course, as you mentioned, that ominous 104% response from Trump and team. And then again, this morning, you know, you wake up, it's a nonstop news cycle right now. You can't get the word tariff off your screen, it seems like, with China's finance ministry imposing an additional 84% on U.S. goods. And it's just not something that investors globally want to see. Nobody is thrilled by this. Not Chinese investors, not U.S. investors, not European investors. No one really loves this, because if you think about this too, China is also in a world of hurt with this, because who's their biggest customer? U.S. consumers. And they export way more to us than we export to them. So it's just it's a pain train for everybody right now. There are some drastic changes that the whole world is just swallowing some medicine, whether they wanted to take it, whether they thought they needed to take it or not. It's happening, and that's kind of our situation right now. As you mentioned, U.S. stocks down sharply here this morning. The dollar index is again also down by 0.86%, dollar index at 102. I mean, just a few short months ago, the dollar index was at 110. So that's a pretty good move to the downside for a currency, as the world is really uncertain about the, I mean, even just before we joined the podcast together, the three of us were talking about where's the safety trade here? Where's the safe havens of the world at this time? Clearly, the dollar index is in scrutiny at this moment for possibly, seems like many, many investors, many analysts may be perceiving this as a very net negative situation for the United States. So we'll have to see how it all pans out. Is this a short-term pain for long-term gain story? Is there some positives that come out of all this? Possibly, but it's very hard to see right now through the forest or through the trees to the forest. You know, the concept here basically being, is there some light at the end of the tunnel with this? And I think the only thing that would really get us there would be negotiations, and not just negotiations, but negotiations sooner rather than later. Because every day that this goes on, every day that you know, companies are ripping out their infrastructure to try and make way for these changes, and every day that escalations and responses from other countries get worse, it solidifies what we're dealing with, and it goes from negotiations to more just a new paradigm of trade. And there are some good news factors here. I don't want to sound completely all negative. There are many countries that seem adamantly willing to step up and you know, negotiate with the United States. It really, of course, goes back to 2018, where it was the drama between U.S. and China. That's back center stage here. We have heard from Japan, South Korea, EU. We've had other places that are willing to discuss, willing to negotiate. And I think ultimately, Trump has a big bark. Clearly right now we're seeing big bark and a big bite, but I think that historically he also has that room to potentially negotiate if people step up and are willing to. So again, we can hold out optimistically for some positive developments as well.
The thing about this situation, though, is for so long, the world has seen America as the safe haven. And this has been in the form of the purchase of, you know, long-term U.S. government bonds and so on. But now we're seeing aggressive selling of those government bonds, particularly in the last 48 hours. And that is not typical behavior, because it's always been considered, the USA, as the safest of safe haven assets. So I would think, for many, that is the chief concern, really. Are we seeing a changing of the guard permanently, a changing of the system? Or, as we were saying off air just now, Kenny was saying, well, people have short memories and things could revert back to where they were. This is down mainly to one man and his administration. And I suppose you could have a new administration and a new guy in charge. But will the world see the USA in a different place for good?
Well, one thing to think about is that round one of tariffs, many of which the imposed tariffs on China actually stuck with the Biden administration. So there is, I think, some bipartisan thought process that trade negotiations do need to happen to a certain degree. People just largely vary on how much and how to approach that negotiation. I think trade deficits do net negative hurt an economy over the long term. It can cause inflation. These things are eroding to a government, although, you know, the United States has done pretty well in all this anyways. But another thing to think about, you brought up treasuries. Tricky thing about this is that I got to say, just first of all, I think people, the bond buyers of the last 5 years are probably some of the most frustrated out there. You had in the COVID, in the 2022 sell-off, markets crashed everywhere, and there was nowhere safe to hide, not even treasuries, because of course inflation went viral. And up to about, 3 days ago, bonds were starting to look really attractive to many investors, because U.S. treasuries, okay, well, if we're going to go into a global slowdown, where you want to be, you want to lend to the U.S. government this, as you mentioned, the safe, kind of reliable, steady eddy place to invest. Well, who's a big investor in U.S. treasuries? China. And China and the U.S. are clearly, they're going at a big bout. Now, of course, China has pulled back on being a buyer of U.S. treasuries in recent years, but perhaps there's something really interesting here happening under the surface. In fact, Johnny, check this out. We have TLT, the U.S. 20 plus year treasury bond ETF, down about almost 3% today. That's following yesterday's down of about 1.9%. And on that same day, gold is up 2.3%. We know in recent years that China has been massively accumulating gold. Central banks around the world have been doing so to potentially de-dollarization. Could we see an acceleration of that trend, selling U.S. treasuries, selling U.S. dollar, buying gold? I don't know. It's a very interesting story. And, you know, to me, not so coincidental that those two moves are happening jointly at the same time.
I wonder what's happening within the administration at the moment, and whether they are talking about those concerns, or whether they're doing what seems to be happening at the moment, and President Trump is saying, no, it's all fine and it's all great. Kenny, can we get your view? Of course, we haven't spoken to you since last week, and it seems like an eternity.
Well, it seems that from the White House, we're getting some conflicting messages as to whether, as Nick mentioned, it's a bit of a negotiating ploy, Trump's bark being worse than his bite, or does he intend to really keep these tariffs in place? And when a White House official was asked about this, he said, well, you could have both. You could have permanent tariffs and you could also have negotiations. So I'm not sure if just maybe a newsworthy item that there's some uncertainty in the White House, but clearly I think we can all agree that Trump is quite unpredictable and he may not know what he plans to do himself. Just something else I wanted to mention as far as the turbulence in the markets. The currency markets are also showing this as well. The Japanese yen, which is traditionally a safe haven asset, we're seeing a flow into the yen. It's up above 2% in the last couple of days. It's about up for a second straight day. It's 1.5% up higher today. And as well, the central banks, perhaps we'll talk a bit later maybe about New Zealand that lowered interest rates earlier today. Every time you look at the central banks, they're very, or central bankers, they're very concerned about what is happening with the tariffs because it has the potential of hurting global growth as well as increasing inflation, which is really the last thing they want to see. I just noticed today that with the Federal Reserve, we'll see the FOMC minutes later today. Right now, the markets have priced in about a 50-50 toss-up whether the Fed will lower rates again next month. And just a week ago, it was only a 10% chance of a rate cut. So clearly, the recent turbulence is shifting views in the at least in the Federal Reserve as far as what to do about the rate path in the next few months.
I mean, you said next month. That just seems a lifetime away. I mean, we think the last few days has been an eternity, but where are we going to be a month from now? Maybe things will be a lot calmer. Nick, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, when it comes to central banks and the response to this, there is something I think is worth mentioning, which is in the last several years, whenever we've had these giant market moves, these rapid moves to the downside, I mean, we would call this a parabolic sell-off for equities, and all of that sort of movement at once has in the past triggered a response from the Fed. In fact, Trump has even picked on Powell saying, hey, it's a good time to cut rates, which of course, almost to me feels like if I'm Powell, I'm now even more willing to hold rates just to push back on Trump's demands. But with that being said, is this the time that the Fed would step in? Well, the issue with that is we have inflation numbers this week. We have CPI and PPI. Both are very important statistics because if the Fed still sees a risk to inflation, and we are also seeing yields dramatically rise today. 10 years up 3.75%, up back to 4.45 today percent. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic move. So I think that if you're looking at central banks and all of this, I think that they're really going to wait to see some sign of labor statistics materially weaken. I think that's really going to be the cue that the Fed's going to say, okay, now we can reasonably say, okay, the demand side is now getting hit, right? If jobs go down, if you know, we're seeing oil prices, they see a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. Oil prices are down. That's disinflationary. But one of the big kind of last dominoes to fall, I would say, would definitely be that those weekly jobless claims, the NFP reports, show those material weakening economic data points that we're looking for, and the Fed is likely to step in. I think that's what the market is trying to call for, but it's fascinating to me that you have yields up so much, and yet, you know, you still have these 50-50 rate cut opportunity or chances in May. It's just such a crazy time. I would have expected that yields would be dropping precipitously if we were getting to a 50-50 chance in May. And while that was the case, we've seen them back up very quickly here with whatever's happening the last 48 hours. That's really where I go back to my speculation that perhaps there's some bond selling going on by China.
So what you're saying, things have to be tangibly worse rather than perceptively worse, because with what is happening, this is going to start costing US companies particularly jobs, because suddenly they're not getting the orders and vice versa, or they're not importing. So that is what would cause job losses in terms of this situation. Then the Fed will have to make a decision. Kenny, you mentioned earlier on New Zealand, and it has indeed cut rates today, but that was going to happen anyway, wasn't it? Does the current situation have any bearing on that decision, or was this always on the cards?
Well, I would say that it was a widely expected decision. As of yesterday, it was about a 75% chance that they were going to lower rates. Interestingly, the New Zealand dollar is up today, despite the cut, although with the way the markets are bouncing up and down, perhaps it's not really due to the cut, but investors have other things on their minds. And the central bank did mention in its rate statement that it's really satisfied with the inflation picture. It's taken a while to get there, but it's around 2%. So that's certainly good news. But at the same time, they talked about their concern over U.S. tariffs, which will decrease global growth. And they mentioned willing to cut rates further if necessary. So we're seeing a real change, I think, in the rhetoric of a lot of central banks that have been very cautious. And New Zealand, the central bank has been fairly aggressive in lowering rates, but they're being quite open about the newest turmoil, and perhaps we'll see a series of rate cuts. And we have to keep in mind that with countries like New Zealand and Australia, escalating trade tensions between the US and China is really bad news for them, because China is both Australia and New Zealand's largest trading partner. So when you have the US and China going at it, it really has a lot of domino effect on other countries.
Okay, guys, we will speak to you again on Friday. Have a great day.
Always nice to be with you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.